Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. I just want to know, I appreciate the pastor, you know, asking me to come up and to speak and all. And I've been quite a bit with Brother Archie Seale, going in nursing homes and prisons and all, and being able to speak to those folks and all. But I've never been able to get behind a pulpit and preach. And so I'm right nervous and all. But praise God for that song. And I want to ask you, if you got a King James Bible, why don't you hold that Bible up? I want to see these Bibles. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. All right. Well, we'll be in Acts 3. This is a familiar story in the Bible and all. And it's got some good meanings to it. And I just want to read Acts 3 and all, 1 through 7 and all. And show you a few things God laid on my heart and all. And as soon as Pastor come up to me and talk to me and all, as soon as I walked away, God laid this on my heart. I had to go back and look and see where it was at and all. And my heart's been there for over a week going over these verses. So I hope God do something for your heart. That's why we come here to church. Hey, I come here to fellowship and all, but I come to see what God has got for me. You know, I've never been to church and I hadn't gotten something from God. And that's what I want you to get tonight. Not something from me, if you know, but something from God. Wasn't that good two messages we just heard and all? And it's all about the Lord and all. You keep your eyes on this. You don't get your eyes on the world. And God will help you. And he lost a lot like did. And all. And you keep your eyes on the Lord. And all things are possible with God. And so I appreciate them messages. I appreciate y'all's testimony and all and doing for God and keep it up. But it says now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being of the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all you do. God, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these great men, Lord, that you called into your ministry, Lord, and how they did your work. And we just pray now, Lord, that you would help me, Lord. Please, God, help me, Lord, God, to give your people, Lord, this word, Lord. And I thank you for all you do. Now bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing I want you to see, it's four different people here now. And we're going to talk about for just a little bit tonight. And the first one that we're going to speak about is that poor cripple. It was a man there. It had been lame, you know, from his mother's womb. He was born lame. He was born with that crippleness and all. And it says day by day he was carried and laid at the temple. And it wouldn't be hard to imagine. That's why I want your imagination right now. This boy was no different when he was born child than our children when they are born. Hey, these people loved this little child. This mother and father perhaps loved him just like we love our children. And it says he was carried daily into this gate Beautiful. I want you to see this man. I want you to see the hearts of his family and all, how they felt when they took, we might say, little Johnny to the temple, and they laid him day unto day. Day after day, year after year and all. That it tells me a lot about his family. Hey, it's no doubt this man, hey, come from a poor family. Hey, he was a poor man. That's why he was asked to go and to sit at the gate, hoping just to get enough to survive and all. And no doubt he had been there for perhaps 20 years, you could say, maybe. His whole life he had been carried to this gate to sit there and all, and just to get a little bit that he might survive, just what he needed. And no doubt while he was at that gate and all, hey, the ministry of Jesus, he heard a lot about it. It speaks of much. If you look about the temple and Jesus and his ministry, a lot went on at the temple and all, and most of it was against Christ and all. But he was laid at that temple, hey, looking to get something. No doubt he heard the stories, how this this man, Jesus, had healed many of people, and how he had touched the blind, how he had risen the dead and all. And no doubt you knew this man. Hey, hearing them stories and all, hey, would I like to met this man named Jesus, hoping in his imagination, hoping maybe he could heal me. But you know, Jesus died. And Jesus, hey, he resurrected, and he went on back to heaven, and this man's still being laid at the temple. I just want to get your imagination and see, hey, how the parents, you know, hey, thought maybe, wonder, you know, if Jesus, if we could get him to Jesus, could he be healed like all these others? So no doubt he's sitting there and he's hearing, hey, hearing all these stories and hearing the good and the bad of Jesus for these 3.5 years. And then you see on the other side of the wall of the temple, it's the hour of prayer. And we know it was at least 5,000 people in the temple praying. And they were praying to God without Jesus Christ. And this young man perhaps was on these steps and he was begging, asking for something, hey, without Christ himself. But then it says Peter and John showed up. And as they walked up the steps and they seen him, he fixed his eyes on him, hoping that he might get something. And this is that fourth person I want to talk about. You had the two men of God. You had the two preachers going up there. And they was putting their lives at stake, too, going to the temple. If you read your Bible thumpers, you know a safe place to go was not the temple if you was a Christian. And here they were going at the time of prayer. They was going up there, hey, when it would be the most people at the temple. And these Antichrist, you might call them. They were Antichrist, no doubt. And all. These is the same crowd that shouted, crucify him, crucify him. This is the same crowd. They did not believe in their heart that this was Messiah. So you got the ones on the inside praying, and you got the one beggar on the outside. He's just looking to survive. That's all he wanted was a little food. And then the two preacher men showed up, Peter and John. They showed up on the stairs, and they too were poor. Hey, they didn't have no money. He said, silver and gold have we none. But that fourth person we want to talk about tonight, he said, but in the name of Jesus. That's who we want to put our emphasis on tonight, in the name of Jesus and all. Hey, that's where I want to get your eyes and your heart and your imagination, in the name of Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. But he was in Peter, and he was in John. He was in their hearts. He was giving them the message, and he sent them there without silver and gold. So you could say, in a way, they were poor too, but not poor in spirit because they had Christ in their life. But I can imagine that poor man. We had the opportunity for 15 years to work in a special editions class at New Life and Calvary Baptist Church. And I had the privilege to bring in a lot of crippled people. I had the privilege to help in Sunday school in the second hour of the preaching time in this ministry. And there was a man that we brought in many times. And you'll know him, Nick, and a lot of y'all know him. But his name was Arthur. And Arthur would come to church religiously. He was there all the time. He would have been there on Sunday night, Wednesday night if the bus had run. A faithful, hey, a person. But Arthur was crippled too. But he was a happy man. I talked to him many a times. Many a times I'd go by on Saturdays to his home, Rabbi Hannock Community House, and talk to Arthur and sit there and talk with him and his legs had withered up, just like skin and bones and all. But he was always happy. And one day we was talking, and he said, Jimmy, he said, I'm glad I'm crippled. And I was like, what? What'd you say, Arthur? He said, I'm glad I'm crippled. And as I was reading these verses, you know, I've never heard someone say that. He says, I'm glad I'm crippled. And I said, Arthur, tell me why. He said, you know, I have a brother. Growing up, he was always good in sports. He could run. He could do anything. He had lots of friends. He said, and you know, he won't have nothing to do with God. He don't want God. He won't have nothing to do with God. He said, you know, I'm crippled. He said, I have people take me to church where I heard about the Lord. He said, I'm saved. He said, I'm glad I'm crippled. And you see what I'm trying to say? Hey, bad things happen, to good people. But Arthur had a good heart. Hey, he was thankful by the grace of God. He was crippled and he couldn't walk. And he was thankful because God came his way. And that's what this man right here, he wasn't looking for much, a penny or two maybe, perhaps, or a half a loaf of bread. He was just wanting a little, but he didn't know what he was getting into. And when they grabbed him by the hand, it says in verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And him leaping up, he stood and he walked, and he entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's my message tonight is, do you know Jesus? Do you know this Jesus of Nazareth? Do you have a personal relationship with him? And God says at that day, Jesus said in John 14, 20, you shall know that I am in the Father, ye in me, and I in you. If you're wondering if Christ is in you, I'm not saying you're not saved, but perhaps you don't know God as your Savior. Perhaps you have a profession that was not real. Perhaps you're praying just like these men in the temple. They're praying to an unknown God. Hey, they're praying to a God who cannot hear their prayers. You know the story. He says that one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus and all. It's only one way to get to God, and it's through Christ Jesus. And when that man trusted, when he put up his right hand and reached down, Peter put up his right hand, reached down and lifted him up. Hey, that man, he received strength. I believe in my heart he received the faith of Jesus Christ, and he got saved at that instance. I believe I had another cripple I'd met at Walmart parking lot, and for some reason, by working in there, God has put a desire in my heart. If I see someone in a wheelchair or someone who's handicapped, I have a desire to go to them and carry them to gospel, Pastor Freeman. And I went there, and this was the most awful, awful situation you could imagine. I watched this man get out of his van and get in a wheelchair. They had it hooked up where it could get right to it and back it out of his van. And it was the most horrible situation to get see. And I said, surely this man will want the gospel, and he'll be. And I went up to him, and you know, he wouldn't take it. He cursed me, said, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. And he went on away. That come to my mind when I'm trying, meditating on these verses today. That man reached up his hand. He reached up, and he wanted the power of God, and he got it. He got more than what he asked for, because it said he reached up, he stood up, and he says he walked into the temple with the two men of God, and it says he leaped and he praised the Lord, and God lifted him up out of his situation. And you know, in the Bible, it tells you many things where they would say, Lord, what has this man, what has this woman done that they be blind or they be crippled? And what did Jesus say? That God, hey, would get the glory out of it. Hey, this man was over 40 years old, and he received Christ, and God brought his life back. He gave him his limbs back, and he was able to leap and to praise God. That one man. And you know the rest of the story. And as they go in there, in verse 9, it says, and when Peter saw it, he answered the people. They had all went out to the gate of Solomon's gate porch. And ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or how look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified this His son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when ye had determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath he made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which ye by him had given him, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The story goes on to say, hey, the 5,000 of them repented. About 5,000 repented that day, and they trusted Christ as their Savior. Hey, by that one witness of that one crippled man, he said, and he gave them the power. Hey, that's where we get our power from, is Jesus Christ. If you haven't been saved by the grace of God, it's because you chose not to. Hey, God will draw you. He will work in your heart. He'll give you the grace and the faith you need. For the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He had one purpose, Ryan, to come into this world, and that's just to save us from our own sins. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I love these Bibles. I love to see Bibles. I collect Bibles. I meditate in the Bible. I get all I can and still can't get enough of this Word of God. Why? Because I was that crippled man too. I was a beggar too. Hey, I was wanting the things of God, but I was wanting it to do it my way. I wasn't repentant like the preacher just said. Hey, and I had to come to that point where I was repentant. I had to change my mind. I had to change my heart. And that night that I repented and accepted Christ as my Savior, He changed me. He got me then. In His world, I'm in His world now. Hey, He says now, and they shall hear my voice. And God says we shall hear His voice. Later in chapter 2, it says in verse 39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." You hear that? Shall call, Brother David. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance. God calls everybody at His time. You don't answer that phone if no one's calling you. You only answer that phone when somebody's ringing your number and you want to talk to them. If you don't want to talk to them, you don't answer. You look and you see who it is. No, not I'm not going to talk to you now. That's how God is. He'll call you at His time. And a lot of times it's in a church meeting. And a lot of times it's in God's house. And that's why we come here together. It says we're fitly joined together. Hey, this is the house of God. And when you come to the house of God, if you'll be looking for something like that poor cripple, if you'll be looking at the man when he's preaching the work of God, and you'll be looking in your Bible, and you'll be putting your faith in Jesus Christ, and you'll put away all the silly things of this world. And hey, when you look at this and you say, hey, this is what I need. Amen. Hey, this is what I need. I need God's word. I need God's assurance that I'm His child. And for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We've all heard it. What a message Sunday morning. It was so good. If you could have got saved again, I would have got saved again. God stirred my heart so much. I come up here Sunday morning and pray. Hey, what God gave me. Amen. He used pastor here to deliver it to us. But it was all of God. Hey, it was a sermon of salvation. Hey, it was a sermon how God, hey, how He can heal you like He healed this crippled man. He can take and He can change your life. But it's your choice. It's a choice. Hey, will you repent? Will you trust God as your Savior? I didn't know what repentance meant when I got saved. All I knew is when I said, God, I'll do anything. Please forgive me and save me. When I said, I'll do anything. With a good and an honest heart. And God came to me. I felt the presence of my sin off my back. Hey, I didn't feel so guilty at that time. And I tell you what, if there was someone in this world I hated, and there was, and you know, the first thought went through my mind, Brother Austin, when I got up my hands and my knees, that thought went right through my mind. I hope that person's saved. The person I hated the most in this world, hey, when I got up my hands and knees was the one I wanted to be saved. That's God. Hey, that's God. That's a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things will pass away. Behold, all things become new. And now unto the church. Hey, to the ones like that cripple, to the ones who have loved ones, and to the little Ellie, to the other babies and all, hey, that have these same problems that this man had. All things work together for good to them that love God. And all things work together for good. Hey, it tells us in Corinthians, all things are of God who has reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, by this man's witness. Amen. Hey, 5,000, about 5,000 non-believers, hey, changed their mind, which changed their hearts, and they got saved. Hey, by that man being crippled. And has anybody ever got saved in here and seen 5,000 people? Professions alone in a lifetime, he's seen it in the first day. Why? Because the man of God went in there, and in the name of Jesus, he gave him instructions, and he obeyed what he had heard. That's what it is. That's what repentance is. It's just a willing heart. Jesus said that with an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And hey, having an honest heart with God. Hey, I need God. I wish for God's sake I would have got saved when I was a teenager, when I first heard the gospel. But no, I didn't. I wasn't willing to repent. But I remember that day when Jesus come to me and I was willing to repent. He sent a man. He sent a man, hey, from the church to speak to me around 6 o'clock. And God used that man's witness and all for about 8 or 10 hours. It kept coming. I couldn't get it out of my mind, out of my heart, how this Christian had come up and had given me the word of God and given me a witness how great God was. And 4:30 a.m. in the morning, January 9, 1991, I received Christ as my Savior. Hey, it wasn't at an altar. Hey, my mom tried to get me to go to church. I wouldn't go to church. Hey, I felt so bad. I had a conscience, and I felt so guilty about the way I was living. I said, man, I'd just be a hypocrite if I go to church. But God come to me, and he come to a person who was a crippled man. Hey, I was a poor man. Hey, God says, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? Hey, that man received Christ that night. He got saved that evening. Hey, then 5,000 got saved, and it doesn't say nothing bad happened. That bad happened to Peter John. It goes on to tell you they got on them quite bad because, hey, they lost 5,000 of their Pharisees, their Sadducees, and their scribes. 5,000 of them jumped board and went to the other side. Hey, is it your time tonight? Does Jesus mean anything to you? Hey, does the Lamb of God, the Lord of Lords, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living water, the author and the finisher of our faith, the almighty and everlasting Father, the light shepherd and bishop of souls, the judge, the head of the church, the master, the advocate, the jealous, the man of sorrows, the servant, the rose of Sharon, the good shepherd, the day spring, the chief cornerstone, the amen, the image of the invisible God, the faithful and true witness, the word, the Messiah, Jehovah, mediator, the resurrection, the true vine, the high priest, the carpenter, the bread of life, the beloved, the holy one, the branch, the teacher, the rock, Alpha and Omega, I am that I am, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the bridegroom, the only begotten Son, the wonderful counselor, Emmanuel, the Son of Man, the King of Jews, prophet, redeemer, and anchor, the bright and morning star, the way, the truth, the life, the Savior, Jesus Christ. What's he mean to you? What's he in your life? It says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Are you talking about Jesus? Perhaps you're like that crippled man. You don't know him. Perhaps you never received the grace of God. But God is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he has loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. For it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you got that in your heart? Have you received Christ? Do you know for sure? Hey, if you died, you'd go to heaven. That's why we come together. That's what this whole church is about. That's what the bus routes is about. Hey, what shall it profit a man, a woman, a child, if they gain the whole world and lost their own soul? You can't put a price on one soul. That's why Jesus came here, to pay the price for us. So what's your choice? Are you going to receive Christ as your Savior? Hey, God knows. He knows if you're saved or not. Hey, do you know? Hey, he brought it out tonight. These things you must know. He said, hey, we receive the witness of men. The witness of God is greater. This isn't the witness of God, which he hath testified his Son. He that believeth on the name of his Son hath eternal life. He that believeth not hath not eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe on. Amen. Do you know for sure if you died, that you go to heaven? Hey, that crippled man, he's there now. Hey, we'll have to wait till we get to heaven and hear the rest of the story. You know how Jesus, if he was to write books, do you know what? If you're saved by the grace of God, if he was to write the books, perhaps the world, hey, could not contain the books. What do you think he'd be writing, Brother David? What do you think? Hey, you know what he'd be writing? Hey, his works. We're his works, people. Hey, every door you knock, when you go out there and you persuade someone to come to church, whether it's on a bus, whether it's on anywhere, whether it's in Walmart, hey, that's the works of God. If God works through you, you know what James said? That's some scary words, ain't it, Brian? Faith without works is dead. Amen. Jesus said you either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Acorns don't come off apple trees and all. Hey, you're going to have some works. God's going to work in you. He's going to work through you. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you have a witness? Amen. Do you have a witness? Hey, do you have the Holy Ghost in you? Hey, that shouldn't be a scary thing to hear. That should be right normal. It's right there, isn't it? Jesus said, hey, I got two comforters. And you do too if you've been saved by the grace of God. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. What do you think about that? He called himself the comforter. And he said, I'll send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Isn't that something? Do you have that comforter in you? Do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? And all? Hey, it's been several people, quite a few people I've given the gospel to. And recently, even recently, give them the gospel. And they look at me. And I remember this one customer I had. Every time we talk, you know, he would laugh at me. He would giggle and all. And right there when COVID broke out last March, he got sick and all. And all. And he come back from the hospital, spent a month and 2 weeks in the hospital. He come home. I called him. I witnessed to him so many times. And he wouldn't receive my phone call. He didn't want to talk to me. He always called me back. And all. And you know what? Greg passed away. And I'm so scared. And I know where he went. And all. You know what? Hey, he rejected the truth. Hey, it's not funny no more. And all. He's not cracking jokes. And I don't say that in a mean way. Hey, I cried over that man. I cried. And all. I cried for his salvation. I know other people too. I know other people. Hey, just like you do, we all got stories we can tell. But this is important. Hey, there's nobody in this building that's guaranteed another minute or a second and all. And I know people who's dropped dead in a second and all. But the grace of God brings salvation. So that's a story. Hey, in the name of Jesus, it's his name. What's your names mean to you? Hey, do they stir your heart? Oh, man, I heard them before. I've been hearing that all my life. Well, I tell you, like I told the man this morning, and our young man, I asked him, I give him a gospel track. Do you go to church? He said, no, I used to. I don't know more. And I said, you know what? I was the same way when I was your age. I said, when I got 18, I left home, and I left my Bible at home that my sister had given me. My Bible, my mom made me take to church. Had my name printed on it. My sister gave it to me for Christmas. I left it at home. It didn't mean nothing to me. You see what I'm saying? It didn't mean a thing and all. But thanks be to God. Hey, I know when I got saved, hey, now I can't get enough Bibles. I can't get enough. I got a lot of them. I got a lot of gospel tracts. I collect gospel tracts and all. Hey, do you know for sure if you die? Do you know? Do you have that comforter we're preaching about? Do you know he lives in you? And then that man went into the temple and I'd be through. What did he do? He leaped and he walked and he hugged the two men of God. And it says he praised the Lord. Do you have that praise in your heart? Are you thankful you've been saved? Hey, it tells us in Ephesians. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after you have believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, God's seal. Now unto King eternal, immortal, the invisible God. Hey, he says, that God has sealed me in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, and no one, no creature, no had the prince of power, nobody can take my name out of that book because I've been sealed, hey, by Christ himself, by King Eternal. You know, eternal means there's never a beginning and there's never an end. And when he put that seal in that Bible, Miss Jenny, hey, I got sealed. My name, I'm in sealed, is Jesus Christ is. The only way I could go to hell, I went with Christ. Hey, and we're not going. He went there once, and we're not going. Do you know for sure you're going? Do you know? Hey, do you know this word of God? This is the most important thing in this world. This is more important than the Dallas Cowboys. I love them. I love them all my life. And I hate the Redskins, but this is more important. I could care less if I seen another football game. Hey, I used to love to watch NASCAR. I could tell you all about them. I was watching when Dale Earnhardt hit that wall when he got killed. Hey, I can tell you all kinds of stories and all. But it tells us in Ephesians, look not at those things which are earthly things. It said, not look on those things above. It said, look not on earthly things, but those things are of above and all. How are you going to know about that? It says in Isaiah 64, he humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. God humbled himself, Brother Cliff, that we might know about heaven and earth. And Jesus said to do in earth as we would do in heaven. And you're not going to do that without praising God. If you've been saved by the grace of God, we all be bringing praises to the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Hey, it says in Psalms 134, bless ye the Lord, all your servants of the Lord would stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless ye the Lord. And all. It's all through the Bible. Hey, it says do on earth as in heaven. God made creatures in heaven to say, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, which was and is to come. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him that sat upon the throne and to the Lamb forever. And you think he's going to do that in heaven and not want us to do it on earth? That's why he said, we're to praise the Lord down here. That's why, hey, I don't do it often enough. I don't have to get that loud. But I need to be lifting my Bible, thanking God, lifting my hands in the sanctuary. You talk about sanctuary. You're talking about where God's people come together. This is all be where we all be praising God. Hey, I can't hardly leap no more, but if I could, I would. And it's all about the Lord. What's he done for you? Does it mean that much to you? Hey, can you not lift your hands? I remember when I had sin in my life and I'm still sinning. But you can't be perfect. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, that's the church, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 48, check it out, it's right there, be ye perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. What is that, Brian? That's just doing the will of God. You got to find it. You got to do it. But first of all, you got to receive the gospel as your Savior, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Jesus, the first thing he did in his ministry in Mark 1:15, he went out into all the world, all the regions, all of Galilee. Repent ye, he said. Repent ye. Amen. He said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus, the gospel himself, hey, was preaching. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Change your mind. Hey, trust in me. He hadn't died yet. He was the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He ain't died. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. God's offering salvation. It's a perfect eternal life. That's what the gospel is to me. God's offering salvation, right? Perfect eternal life. Do you have that life in you? Hey, do you have that eternal life? And do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? If you don't, you're in the same condition this crippled man was. You're in the same condition I was in January 9, 1991. Hey, I had three false professions, but I tell you what, hey, they were false. And God always reminded me they was false and all. I was raised in a church and all. Things wasn't always right in our home, but I knew enough of the Bible to be saved. I was in Brother Don Lowry's Sunday school class. Most of the time I was in trouble, wasn't I, Brother Don? Hey, but I was in there and all. But you know what? God was far from my heart. So, Lord, hey, I pray, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that you would look at this Bible. You would look in there. You would, hey, check that out. God works in your heart. Hey, he says God will call you. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, hey, I will draw all men unto me. God will till your heart. He'll prick your heart. Just like tilling a garden. You don't plant the seeds until the garden is tilled. God will work in your heart, and then he'll take his word, the seed, the word of God. And he said, and that with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, bringing forth fruit with patience. So that's my prayer. I love you all. I love Jesus Christ, and I love you. But if it's someone here that does not know, please listen to the Lord. Please listen to the Spirit of God. When he comes to you, don't think about no one else. Think about God. Hey, think about God. And that's the message. Thank you, Lord.